Chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah's just a little tiny book in the Bible. It's right there tucked between Obadiah and Micah. Those little minor prophets. Not minor because of their voice. It's not like, oh, we have major prophets, they're the important ones. And minor prophets, those are the ones you don't have to pay as much attention to. Minor prophets are just shorter. Major prophets are just longer. So, I'd like to think I would have been a major prophet. All right. Remember where we were last week? Jonah was on a boat. He was on a boat with a bunch of different fishermen from different religions, and they all started praying to their false gods, and they cast lots. And the lot fell to Jonah by the grace of God. Jonah is called to the carpet on his behavior. And so Jonah says, you are right. I have been running from God. I'm a Hebrew. I belong to the living God, the creator of the land and the sea. And it terrifies the sailors. And they try to save Jonah's life because obviously the God that is causing this big storm is angry at Jonah. And if they throw him overboard, I mean, what's going to happen to them? Maybe God will just sink them to the bottom of the sea. But Jonah insists, throw me overboard. And so eventually when the guys can make no progress whatsoever, they do the one, two, three, whoo! Out goes Jonah into the ocean. And immediately the storm calms. And that brought fear to those sailors. So they commit themselves to the Lord. That's what it means when it says they made vows in verse 16 of chapter 1. They feared the Lord greatly. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. Verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. Let's just stop right there. Can you think of anything more ridiculous in this story? I mean, have people not asked you this question before? My dad, who's not a believer, has certainly asked me this question. He's like, seriously, Chris, you believe that that guy was swallowed by a whale and that he was inside of a fish? That is ridiculous. How is that even possible? That's preposterous. That makes you look like a fool for believing that kind of thing. I'm digging this, by the way. I feel like I can really get out there with you. This is just a silly story. That story is meant for children. That's meant for children to just have some sort of like a Disneyland story. There's no way that this whale or this big fish swallowed a man and that he lived. That is preposterous. Well, I will remind you that just a few verses earlier, the Bible says that God caused a great wind to come across the sea that stirred up the waters. And he caused a great storm to come out of the sea, which tossed this boat around. And that boat was tossed around so much that the experienced sailors that were on it, that were taking this long journey, probably all the way to Spain, threw their cargo overboard and couldn't get themselves out of the storm. And that God had these pagan sailors who didn't know anything about him throw dice so that they could figure out that it was Jonah that God was after. And then Jonah admitted to it and said, you should throw me overboard. And that when he did, the storm subsided. Now see, when we hear that part of the story, we think to ourselves, well, you know, God does that kind of thing in other parts of the Bible, doesn't he? So we can buy that God can control the wind. We can buy that a God of the universe that created the land and the sea, he could probably control those kinds of things. But a big giant fish that swallows a man, that's ridiculous. And my offer to you is that every miracle in the Bible is ridiculous. Every one of them. There's not a small miracle or a big miracle that is not ridiculous. I would just offer up that you understand some of them better. When God heals the child that has died in a home, what do you think? Oh, And that's a Jesus I can get behind. That sounds like somebody I would really, really like to have around. Somebody that can heal my children when they're dead. I mean, that's awesome stuff, is it not? We understand on just a felt level why God would do something like that. I'll be honest, you're probably missing the point of the miracle, but we get it. We understand it. When Jesus changes water to wine, we sometimes wonder, why did he do that? What did he mean by all that? Why did Jesus change water to wine? And because sometimes we can't organize that in our brains and we can't figure out why God would do something like that. I mean, he didn't just make a little bit of wine. He made 180 gallons of wine. I mean, you know, it's not like bring a bottle of wine. We're talking like bring a vat of wine, all right? Why did he do something like that? See, these are miracles that we don't get as easily. And so we kind of throw them off to the side, and we're like, oh, those are those miracles that you just can't figure out. Remember when he walked by the fig tree that wasn't producing fruit, and what did he do to it? He cursed it and he killed it. What's up with that? Why did he do that? See, there's miracles that God has done in Scripture that we don't get and we kind of struggle with, and then there's miracles that we kind of on a felt level we understand a little bit better. This is one that is just plain fantastic and bizarre and weird, and it's a little bit remote. It's outside of our understanding. So it's easy, I think, to look at this and go, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, I can believe in God, but I'm not going to believe in these kinds of miracles. And I would offer up to you that every miracle in Scripture, if you study the miracles of God, when he steps outside of the norm and does something unique and miraculous, every single miracle of God is just inexplicably wild and amazing. And it reveals his glory in some way. And you know what the best part is? The most common miracle, the one that we probably take for granted the most, is that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and offers eternal life to anyone who will have faith in him. Trust him. Put the whole of your life, past, present, and future, into his hands. Change how you live today. Change how you're going to live tomorrow. When you place your life into Jesus Christ's hands, Jesus Christ says the miracle of new life will occur inside of you because I have called you by name. That great miracle, if you really think about it, is wild. Extraordinary. God takes those that are hostile towards him and he brings them close and he calls them his own. He claims you for your own while you're running away from him, while you're hostile towards him, while you want nothing to do with him, while you live out Jonah. Jonah was running from God. He was running from the presence of the Lord. He was running from what he knew was right. What he knew God's will was. And it says that God hurled a wind at him. He hurled a storm at him. He hurls Jonah overboard. And then he swallows him in the mouth of a great fish. Now, I just want to note here that God appoints this fish. Like an employee being appointed by a superior. It's like when your boss says, hey, I need you to go clean the bathroom. That's what he says to this fish. Hey, I need you to go swallow that guy. That's what the text says. It's very creative. It's as though everyone in the story, the ship has got a personality, the fish has got a personality. And he points to the fish and he says, hey, go see that guy that just fell in the water? Go swallow him. And so the fish obediently goes, like a good employee. This great fish swallows Jonah. Like the miracle of the storm, Jonah being swallowed up by the great fish is also an amazing miracle. This great fish could have been any kind of sea creature. I know people always want to know, well, what kind of a fish was it? Was it a halibut? Was it just like an overgrown goldfish? What was it? The King James Version, which is a version that the church used for hundreds of years, translated great fish as whale, which is where we get the story of Jonah and the whale. However, the word actually is great fish. Now, by the way, the Bible is, especially in the Old Testament, not terribly technical. Like, I know some of you are like, oh, well, a whale is a mammal, not a fish. So, according to the genus of Fishopolis, it couldn't have been a mammal. You know, that kind of thing? Okay, you understand, this was written before all that was made up, all right? They didn't have all that stuff, like Tyrannosaurus and all that. They didn't know about that yet. So this stuff that's here, it just says it's a great sea creature. It's a great fish. It could mean all kinds of things. It could mean a whale. It could mean a big fish. It could mean the Loch Ness Monster, for all we know. It just was something big, and it could swallow a man. Now, believe me, I have read story upon story upon story over the last couple of weeks of animals that are large enough to swallow men. I can tell you that there are animals that are big enough to swallow a man whole and for the interior of that animal to contain a person. However, as you probably have figured out, that doesn't happen very often, all right? That's what makes it a miracle. That's what makes it unique. God told the fish, go swallow that guy. I even put a picture of a whale shark on the front of your, because that's one of the animals that theoretically could hold on to a man. It would be very tight in there, by the way. It would be like a downtown Long Beach apartment. Very, very small. But, the stomach of a sperm whale, however, is amazingly can hold four men in it, and they can all live. So I don't know how they figured that out. But a big fish swallows Jonah. And Jonah is inside of this fish with the really, really big stomach. And he spends, I'm on the back page now, 3 days and three nights. Does that remind you of anything? This is one of those great views in the Bible of a little preview. Jesus Christ will refer to his death and resurrection as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man go into the belly of sin, of Satan, of hell, of the earth. He goes into the belly of death for 3 days and three nights. Jonah spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of the creature. Some people read back that Jonah was actually dead inside of the belly of the creature because Jesus Christ himself was dead, and Jesus compares himself to it. There's really no reason for us to read that backwards into this story. It's sufficient to say that Jesus viewed this as a foreshadowing of his eventual death. Only after this time does it begin to dawn on Jonah while he is in the belly of the whale. He thinks he's dead the whole time. Remember, he's escaping God. He's running away. Can you imagine if you got swallowed by a giant fish? Would you think to yourself, oh, I'm all good now? You're thinking, oh, great. God's going to digest me slowly in the belly of this whale. I'm going to suffer here. And he stays alive. And he's alive inside of the belly of the whale. And it's not, you know, I know we've all seen the picture of the kid with the candle, you know, inside the belly of the whale. I'm pretty sure the belly of a whale is a pretty dark place to be. I'm pretty sure that you can't see anything. I'm pretty sure that you don't know what's going on. And I'm pretty sure it's not very pleasant smelling or pleasant to hang out there. He's in the belly. Yeah, ooh, yes, correct. He's in the belly of the whale. It's probably pretty disgusting. And he's probably moving around quite a bit. And it's probably, he probably thinks, I'm going to die in here. I don't even fully understand what is going on. And he's in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. And then, look at chapter 2, verse 1. Do you see a chronology here? It says that he spends 3 days and three nights, and then Jonah prayed. 3 days and three nights. And do you know what he figured out in those 3 days and three nights? I'm not dying. I'm still alive. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not dying. And so then, after 3 days and three nights, what does Jonah do? I don't know about you, but I think this is a picture of our stubbornness. God can have us dead to rights. He can have us right where we need to be. He can chase us down, put us into a headlock, and what do? Nothing. I'm just going to sit here. And then it dawns on us. Maybe this thing that I thought was going to kill me, maybe this thing that I thought was going to ruin me, maybe this thing that was going to destroy me, maybe it's not that at all. Maybe God meant this for something else entirely. Maybe God has something else in mind. And so it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. Now, I want you to note there in verse 1 of chapter 2. Do you see Lord, how it's capitalized? That means Yahweh. Okay, very good. Remember, that's from Exodus. It's God's memorial name. It talks about God's presence. He's the great I am. It talks about God's great provision, how he has come for his people. It is a personal name that the Jews and we use as God being close to us, that God has chosen us, that he has reached out in his constant presence to be in our presence, to be with us. But then note that it says the Lord, his God. Now, God, in this case, whenever it's used in the book of Jonah, is a judgmental kind of view. This is now a God who is judging me. So he's saying, Lord, compassion, God, judgment. That God there is the word Elohim in the original language, and that word has more of a judgment tone for the reader. And so then Jonah prayed to the Lord, God, please be with me, my God, the one who has judged me, the one who has leveled this judgment against me from the belly of the fish or from the stomach of the fish. And he says, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Sheol is an equivalent word to hell, or a place where death is, a place where the dead are kept, kind of thing. And you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. Does he say that the sailors did it? No. There's a little lesson there, isn't there? I know sometimes you think your circumstances are, oh, is that lousy boss? He didn't like me, and so he fired me. Oh, Lord, it's this crazy woman that you gave me. She's the problem in my life. Lord, if I didn't have this husband, I'd be able to worship you. Lord, my circumstances have taken a hold of me, and I cannot do anything about them. Is that what Jonah says? No, Jonah says, you, Lord, cast me into the deep. You are the source of my circumstances. What are you teaching me through the things that I'm dealing with in my life? Because I see you as the source of all things. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me or swallowed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. Does that not remind you of the song we sang this morning? When sea billows blow, man, all the breakers and billows passed over me. He is sucked under the waves. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again towards your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. What is he speaking of? He's dying. He's been thrown into the ocean, and he is drowning. He is being pounded down. Lower and lower and lower. He's now in seaweed and muck, and he is dying. Letter B. Jonah chronologically recalls his near-death experience in this watery deep, verses 2 and 3. His expectation of death, verses 4 through 6. And then his rescue. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered Yahweh. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? When you're in the belly of a whale, making promises to God. You ever been there? You ever been in a situation that you didn't anticipate? You ever have everything just go completely crazy in your life? And you find yourself making vows to God? You find yourself making promises. God, if you'll get me out of this situation, I promise I'll do good. I promise I'll do right. I promise I'll be good. I promise I won't struggle anymore. I will be the person that you created me to be. God gives us this picture of Jonah's prayer as an instruction to us that you should not allow yourself to get into the belly of the whale. You don't have to go to this extent. Some of us today, this morning, right now, are stubbornly running away from God. You are stubbornly running away from the presence of the Lord. Let this be a warning to your soul. Quit your running. Your God is a jealous God. You are running straight into Him. You're not running away from Him. You're running to Him. Like a little child that's playing hide-and-go-seek with their parents. And they walk into the middle of the room and they just do this. As long as I can't see them, they can't see me. That is our running from God. We cannot escape Him. There's nothing and nowhere that we could go that would be outside of the presence of the Lord. Stop your running. Make your vows, even this morning. Lord, I've been running from You. Forgive me. I want to return into a place where I am paying attention to Your presence. I want to promise You that I will live differently. I want You to transform me. I don't want to be Jonah. I want to be Your man or Your woman. I want my family to be Your family. I don't want to belong to something or someone else. He remembers the Lord, and his prayer comes to him. He says, I will forsake all of these evil things. I will sacrifice to You with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. That which I said I would do, I will do it. I don't think that was fuzzy on God. I mean, God chased him down with the wind, a storm, got him thrown overboard, put him in the belly of the fish. Pretty much this guy's doing what God wants him to do. But Jonah, for his part, is in a transformation in his 3 days and three nights. A transformation which brings him to this conclusion. Salvation, verse 9, is from the Lord. Let's just walk through this really quick. I think it's important for us too. Because sometimes I think we feel like God is so at work in the midst of all that He is doing that we don't really need to pray. We don't really need to engage Him. That God's going to do what God's going to do, and I don't really need to do anything. I don't really need to pray to Him. I don't really need to engage Him. I mean, if God is sovereign, He's in control, and He's already got the future all worked out and everything, who cares? Why do I? Because, according to the Word of God, God is also transforming and changing you. God has preordained, He has planned on your transformation in this world. And He holds you accountable to your responsiveness to Him. Extraordinary, isn't it? That God can plan things out and hold you responsible for your personal transformation, your responsiveness to Him. I don't even know how that works. But I do know this, that's exactly what Scripture says is true. That God is completely sovereign, and we are responsible to respond in a way that honors Him and gives glory to Him and shows that we are members of His kingdom. You on board for that? Because some of us are tossed around by waves. Some of us are just kind of floating through as though it doesn't matter what I do. Some of us act as though I can live however I want because, you know, God's doing His own thing anyway. Make no mistake. In Scripture, God calls on His people to be responsive. And God places Jonah in the belly of the whale and gives him a big U-turn. Takes him away from Tarshish and begins to move him back towards Nineveh. In the belly of a whale, He takes him back towards the shoreline to move him towards Tarshish, or to move him towards Nineveh, away from his original destination and in the direction that God wanted to take him. And in the process of God changing the circumstances in Jonah's life, God wants to see Jonah transformed in the midst of that. And it's exactly what we see happen to Jonah in the belly of the whale. Jonah goes in, rebellious, ignoring God, figuring death is better than following him. And he comes out saying, what? That which I have promised you, I will pay. I will live the way I am called to live. I will be obedient to you. I am going to respond in an appropriate manner to you. I think of this even today. You know, tomorrow starts VBS. It's our whale of a program here at Long Beach Alliance. All of us are in the belly of the whale right now. And it strikes me that for some of us, we've done it so many times, it's almost mindless. Some of you have led VBS longer than I've been alive. I mean, you've been at VBS for a long, long time. Was that a that's right? Wow, that's great. We've been doing VBS a long time. And it always strikes me that we have over 100 workers that work in VBS. And I know a lot of you would love to do VBS. You'd love to work in VBS, but you have jobs that you work in the daytime. And you're not able to be here. In fact, your job maybe frees up another spouse or some other members of your family to be able to be here and to serve. And so we are deeply appreciative of everybody's contribution. I know a lot of you have given money to scholarship kids to help out with VBS. All of these things are part of our church's commitment traditionally over dozens of years towards VBS. And really, it's almost automatic. And I'm blown away. I'm just blown away. We have, I asked Sherilyn, we have over 100 workers for VBS. There will be, you know, with the workers, there will be over 300 people here. Just kids and workers. And this place is, I mean, you should see this place tomorrow morning. You guys all just sit here and you're so quiet. Some of you are even falling asleep. It's so peaceful. It's great, you know. Tomorrow morning, this place is going to be total psychotic pandemonium. I mean, kids bouncing off the wall. You got little kindergartners that are going to be sitting in these front rows, all the way back to the junior hires, which are making so much screaming noise. It's just out of control. This room just is pumping with energy. It's just unbelievable. If you've never seen it, it is really something to behold. And every year, we have a prayer meeting on the Sunday night before VBS, and like 20 people show up. We have over 100 workers. We're going to have more people than are in this room right now in this room tomorrow morning with children. And I just think that sometimes we just have it on autopilot. I'll be honest. I think that the only way that VBS succeeds, the only way that we make progress, the only way that we see people won to the Lord this next week, the only way we see families transformed is if we approach it in a prayerful manner on our knees. The hard work of VBS is not setting up your room or making the stage or getting all ready with your lessons. The hard work of VBS is prayer. The victories that are going to be won are not going to be won just in the classroom. The victories that are going to be won are going to be because we have gone to the Lord and said, we have done the part that you've called on us to do. Will you do the part that only you can do? See, I can't save anybody. Somebody goes to heaven and says, you know, God says, why should I let you in? And you say, well, I went to Chris Lankford's church. That doesn't count for squat. In fact, that might be a detriment. You might not want to bring that up. You better know Jesus. You better depend on him. You better have a relationship with the Son of God. You better be adopted into the family. And the same is true for all these children that God is placing in our care this week. We've got a prayer meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm pulling for more than 20. Now, if you don't show up, it doesn't mean like I'm a weak Christian. I know some of you are like, shoot, I've got something going on. Everybody's going to notice that I'm not there. Don't worry about it. But if you're sitting at home watching sports or catching up on Gilligan's Island. Get yourself out of your house. Get yourself over here. And let's commit this week to prayer. And let's let it be a stake into the heart of the devil that he is not going to take any part of our VBS. You know, we transport all those hundreds of kids all over the place. We have them in swimming pools. We do activities. We've got stuff that goes on in classrooms. We've got teachers in there with kids wall to wall, maybe on top of the walls. It's unreal, the scene in some of these rooms. There's kids everywhere. There is so much of a need for prayer this week. We don't need just prayer tonight. We need prayer all week long. So let's tonight be a moment where we respond. God has got us in the place that he wants us. And I believe that some of us just feel like, hey, VBS, we always do that. It'll be fine. Let's not miss out on something great because we've accepted something good. I believe we could do a good job. I really do. But I think a great job is out there for us. And it's only going to come when we have this kind of a response of prayer. Do you believe that conclusion that Jonah comes to, that salvation is from the Lord? That you can say words, you can be compelling, you can really sell Jesus, but you know what? Only Jesus can save. Do you believe it? Then let's pray. Let's be a body that prays for VBS. Number three, letter A. You might see in your Bibles that this chapter is constructed differently. It's not written like a story. It's written like a poem. And that's because it's written in Hebrew prose. It's a psalm, literally. You could put it in the Psalms. It's a psalm of thanks. And it concludes with a triumphant statement of God's salvation. Jonah thought that God wanted to kill him, but in reality, God saved Jonah through miraculous circumstances for his perfect purposes. From all appearances, Jonah has been transformed by God through his time in the belly of the fish. God used terrifying circumstances, miraculous means to transform Jonah into a useful prophet. And I want to remind you again, are you in the midst of terrifying circumstances? Do you feel like God is so very far away? Lost your job, losing your marriage? Are you experiencing things in your life that you never thought you would? Do you look in the mirror and sometimes wonder, how did I get here? How did this happen to me? God, I didn't forsake you. Why have you forsaken me? I just want to point out to you that Jonah could have said that all along the way. I did one little thing wrong, and now look at me. I'm in the belly of a fish. I'm being digested. This is not good. This is a turn for the worse. God took those circumstances, and he was using them for his own miraculous purposes. Things looked bad, I'll give you that. And things look bad in some of our lives. But be prepared. Be prepared for you to get vomited out of the circumstances right into the place where God wants you to be. Because that's what happens to Jonah. This great fish vomits up Jonah onto dry land. There's a lot of words for vomit in the Bible, believe it or not. There's like spitting and spewing and kind of, you know, more of just, you know, he puked. This is like disgusting, the grossest word you could possibly use for vomit. This is like vomit from the bottom of your toes that comes out your eyeballs, okay? This is projectile technicolor. Jonah came out of that whale with force, all right? He was not just vomited, he was shot right out of that whale and right onto the sand. He vomits Jonah up onto dry land. And Jonah is a seemingly new man. As is still true today, God does not want to save a man for himself only, but so that many will learn of God through each one God saves. See, Jonah thought it was about him. Jonah thought it was about Israel. But in reality, it's not. It's not just about us. It's not just about you. It's not, It's not just about Long Beach Alliance Church. It's about something broader than that. It's one of the main reasons that next week on Sunday, when you walk out of the sanctuary next Sunday, you are going to see a whole barbecue that exists outside. We're going to invite all those VBS folks and all their children to come back on Sunday morning. And then we're going to have a big barbecue for them out here on Sunday right after the service. There will be hot dogs and popcorn and stuff. And if you venture in a little bit further, we're going to have a gigantic bounce house inside of the gym. It's going to fill the whole gym. It's an obstacle course. It's got three pieces to it. It's total insanity. It's for big people. You know, people like that are my size, people that are teenagers, anybody that's, you know, human can get inside of this thing. And then we're going to have another bounce house on the back porch for little people, okay? For the people that we don't want killed. We put them on the back porch and that kind of thing. So if you've got little kids, you can take them in there and they're not going to get beat up. So we've got this huge bounce house for kids. We got a little bounce house in the back. We got a barbecue out there. And I got news for you. It's not about us. It's not about you. I mean, I'm great if you have some hot dogs, okay? I hope I see you in the bounce house, especially some of you older adults. I would love to see that. Okay, I don't want you to get hurt. Don't get me wrong. But when you jump in, everybody jumps in. And so it's kind of fun. So I want you to come with your game day face on next week, okay? I want us to come ready to have a little carnival after church. But I want you to know this too. See, and Jonah missed this. Jonah missed that God cares about other people. Jonah missed that God cared about the Assyrians, that God cared about the Ninevites, that God cared about the men on the boat, that God cared. Everyone that Jonah gets near gets saved. Isn't that great? When God's got a man, when God's got one of his own in his hands, he just leaks off of the person, whether they want it or not. Everyone Jonah gets near gets saved around Jonah. They come to repentance. Next week, can you be that agent? I know it's easy to sit here and go, oh, bounce houses and popcorn and hot dogs. It just sounds like indigestion and headaches. I'm out of here. Man, the second they say amen, I'm blowing into that parking lot and bailing out of this place. I don't even care if you eat. I just want you to hang out and meet some people that maybe don't have a church, that would maybe like to get to know this family a little bit better. Would you think in terms of reaching out to those people that maybe don't know Jesus Christ? Let's start here. Might be a little bit much for you to go to your next door neighbor who you've known for 30 years and you know isn't much interested in church. Might be a little much to invite them over and talk to them about Jesus. So let's start here. Let's learn here. Let's get equipped here. And let's do that next Sunday. So we've got a whole VBS week, but it's not just about that VBS thing. It's about bridging from VBS into the life of our church family. That's why the week after VBS, like we do that carnival, we've got a park day the next week that we're inviting people to with a softball tournament. And all kinds of food, and we have a big potluck over at Hartwell Park. Like, we don't do these things because we think, oh man, church, they're just bored. They got nothing to do in their lives. Those church people, they just sit at home and watch TV. No, I want to call us to reach out. I want to call us to redeem these moments. I want to call on you and me and everybody else to find people in the highways and the byways, and let's invite them to be a part of this family. There's no greater moment for me on a Sunday morning. I mean, I have a lot of great moments, but it cracks me up when I tell you guys you can stand up and say hello to each other. It takes you like 0.001 seconds to get into that. You are immediate. You are talking, and it is loud. You are cacophonous. You are just like, boom. If you sang half as loud as you talk to each other, we would blow the worship team away. It is like ba-boom when we start talking. Everybody is into it. Everybody is going for it. Some of you look like you're at a funeral when we're singing. But man, when it's time to talk to each other, you are going after it. You are, let's answer that. You are absolutely going after it. It's amazing. I think we've got a great family, in other words. I think we've got a family that loves one another. I think we've got a family that loves loving on other people, that wants to just say, man, we got open arms. Be a part of what's going on in this place. I believe that we're making an impact in our community and in families and really for the kingdom of God all around the world. Are Ken and Joy here? I saw him last. Yes, there's. I see Joy. Is Ken there? He's in Israel. What's he doing there? He was just here last week. Joy Swift, one of our missionaries is here this morning. We are impacting the whole world through the people that are part of this congregation and are connected to this body of believers. I just think, man, don't just go home. Don't just walk away from this. Let's be engaged and find ways to redeem what God is doing. Jonah misses this. He just thinks salvation is for him and his friends. He looks at the Ninevites and he's like, ah, those are dirty Ninevites. They don't live like us. They're like a bunch of pig-eating jerks, and I don't want to have anything to do with them. But inside of that belly of the fish, Jonah's transformed. With Jonah's life preserved, the story of Jonah begins all over again. Look at it in chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And we start all over again. Only two chapters. So it's a short little story from here on out. But the story gets really good. And it ends magnificently. Magnificently. God has got much to teach us. Hey, as the worship team makes their way back up here this morning and we respond, could I just encourage you? There are very few weeks in the life of our church. Really this one, and we've got a really huge outreach week that we do for Hume Lake a little bit later on in the summer with our kids. But these weeks are enormous for us. Could I encourage you to be at the prayer meeting tonight at 6 o'clock? Could I encourage you to be praying every day this week as you sit down with your family? Pray for not our success with VBS, but the Lord's success for VBS and the lives of kids and families. And could I really encourage you, we've got a carnival next week. Be here with bells on. Be ready to rock for that carnival. We've got a park day the week after that. I'm giving you a couple weeks warning so that we can really engage this. Invite some neighbors. Invite some people that might be interested in doing